somebody tell me. Sometimes what's different is just the same. Only inside. You can't call me a rebel. Tongues are gonna wag when I go against the grain. I'm gonna kiss and then tear. I'm still rose by any other name. So sweet, so sweet.
Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for and by the bisexual community. This episode, we are discussing being bi or coming out as bisexual, the pros and cons, the ins and outs, and doing it over and over and over again. With us, we have Kyle Schickner of Fence-Sitter Films.
I'm Ruth.
I'm John.
I'm Lynette.
And I'm Kyle Schickner.
Hi, Kyle. We're so glad to have you on with us.
I'm excited. Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Welcome. All right. So for the people who may not know who you are, and like I said, I don't know who that would be, but there must be someone. Who are you, Kyle?
I am Kyle Schickner. I have a film company called Fence-Sitter Films since the mid-90s. And I've been a bisexual activist since the early 90s when I came out at Rutgers and started the first only, the first bi collegiate group in the nation called BIAS, Bisexuals Achieving Solidarity. And since then, I've done a number of things. And now I basically focus on making films from my film company that deal with stories about the LGBT community, the people of color, and women. And I'm generally a thorn in the side of people who piss me off.
Well, you haven't pissed us off, so it's okay.
Well, good. It's early.
So a couple of things you've done is you did a series with Equality TV on YouTube called The Biweekly Show, which we love.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And my favorite is about coming out, of course. That's my favorite. You've also done a series on YouTube, well, it's on YouTube now, called Rose by Any Other Name, and it's about coming out and coming to terms with the lead character's bisexuality herself. And we love it. It's great. And like I've mentioned before, my only complaint is, where is season 3?
Yes, season 3. Season 3 is up in the, it's in limbo right now. One of the things, it was interesting. The Rose by the Name web series is a fictional show, and it's based on initially it was a play that I wrote in the mid-90s that ran in New York at the Sanford Meisner Theater. We then took that play that was successful, turned it into my first actual feature film in 96, and then resurrected it again in the late 2007, 8, 9, whatever. As a web series again, sort of updated it. And I just had to update some of the cultural references, but sadly the position of bisexuals is actually as pertinent as it is in 2014 as it was in 95.
Well, absolutely. It doesn't change, does it?
No, unfortunately. So season 3. So it tells the story of Rose, who is a lesbian, happy out lesbian with a number of her social life is, within the lesbian community, who then finds herself inadvertently, slowly, falling in love with this guy. And having to sort of deal with her emotions, finding out what that means to her, finding out what that means to her friends and his, the guy she likes and his friends, and sort of dealing with that. Season 1 came out, we put it on YouTube, I was helped out by AIB and the California Institute of Contemporary Arts, a couple grants to get that done. That ran, it was very, very successful with no marketing, free on YouTube. And so we then decided to do season 2. That I took from my money, and what I wanted to do, and we talked about this before then, is find a way to then finance season 3, because there's obviously, it's on YouTube, the first season, there's no money involved. So we put it on a pay site for 99 cents for each episode, it was 9 episodes, and either the people actually didn't like the first season as much as I thought and said, screw it, I have no interest in seeing where these characters go, or the 99 cents price tag became too, people are used to getting stuff on the internet for free, so not enough people followed it to the pay site, unfortunately, to finance at this point a third final season to find out where Rose's life goes. So that's where season 3 is. It's sort of all the actors are interested in doing it. There's a script. I'd love to, you know, finish Rose's and Anthony's story, as well as their friends. But that's where we're at.
Well, we will be waiting with bated breath to see if that happens. If we can help, please let us know.
Cool, great, thank you. I mean, it'll get done at some point, even if I have to do it animated.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
That is interesting, actually.
Oh, that costs more.
Besides, we need to have Rose's friend back on the screen.
Veronica?
Uh-huh.
She is great, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. I think she's great.
and also out as bi. I don't know if you knew that, the actress.
No, I did not know that.
Her name is Faye Wolf, and she's actually a really great singer-songwriter. I met her at a BiNet LA party and said, hey, I'm doing this show. I'd love for you to be part of it. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. So that's actually where we met. So she's bi and out and very active. Yes, so she's, you know, her Faye Wolf, you can actually YouTube her. She's got a number of great songs, usually sad songs, out by, and so, you know, and so that's the crush can continue for you guys.
So her song was actually autobiographical in the show.
Oh, in the show? I'm trying to think what song that was. No, I don't think she wrote that song. She's too expensive for me.
Oh, okay.
But she writes her other stuff, and she, and it's actually very, very good. And I recommend YouTubing it and seeing her and buying her albums. They're very, very, very good. And again, supporting, you know, out by people.
Absolutely. We'll make sure to do that. And joining us now is Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hey.
How are you?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Very good. And we were just talking about Rose by any other name and Veronica and, all of the cast, which we adore.
Yeah. It's a little bit controversial, I think, the way the second season ended, but...
How so?
Well, it kind of bothered me a little bit that the second season ended basically by... I know there was supposed to be a third season, mm-hmm. but it sort of bothered me that the second season ended a cliffhanger that basically relies on every trope of the... sort of every negative trope of bisexuals that there is.
Yeah, but I think, you know, my feeling with that is, if there was a third season, we probably wouldn't have this conversation, is that whether it's, you know, someone coming out of the straight, from the straight world into the, you know, there is a fear, and it's very easy to get scared and go back in to whatever closet you're in. This happens to be a different closet. You know, I wanted to make it, you know, I mean, I wanted their love story to be, have some obstacles. Otherwise, because for the most part, I didn't, for all the people who have struggled, like everyone, you know, that's probably listening, that have struggled or have a relationship, I hate watching an hour show or a 30-minute show or even an hour and a half movie where everything is conveniently tied up with very little. I think it's unfair to the real struggles that people go through. And I think mm-hmm. that, you know, I wanted to pay as much respect to the reality of, you know, we don't always just say, hey, oh, look, I'm bi, I'm in a relationship and I'm happy. There is, you know, there's some touch and go, there's some feeling out of the feeling, you know, if the water's warm and all of that. So I really wanted to put a couple legitimate obstacles in front of Rose's path and also, you know, and also Anthony. And I also wanted to, and I wanted to say this because I actually got in trouble. I did a movie called Steam a number of years ago with Ally Sheedy and Chelsea Handler and Ruby D. And I got in trouble with a woman.
It's a good movie. You guys should see it if you haven't seen it.
I had gotten, we were at a premiere in New York, and I got accosted by someone from, I don't know if she's a BiNet New York, but she's a well-known activist in the bi community in New York, because my character, my bisexual character, is sort of a sexual predator, in a way.
It's like a negative image, like some people...
Yeah. Queer-coding in a walking stereotype.
And part of the things that I hate from a standpoint of bi, is that stereotypes, there are people like that. There are people like, this woman's name was Nyla in the movie. There are people like Nyla out there. You know, there are people like that. And I don't feel the need to project this image that bisexuals are perfect.
Amazing.
All complete victims. I wanted to sort of like show a different, and I had just gone through a number of things with the Rose movie and all that, and I wanted to sort of give another color of it, of who we are. I got a little heat from somebody, and again, my feeling is that all of these people are who we are. We're not all Lorraine Hutchins, you know, we're not all Robin Oakes. We're not all, you know, Lynette and Ruth and Beckett. We just aren't. And so sometimes we also have to embrace the shitty ones. Like, you know, and that's what goes back to what we talked about last time, that, you know, this, we have this view because there's so few people who we can look up to that they have to, if someone comes out, they have to be all things to all bisexuals.
Right. Yeah.
And that's impossible. When I used an example of Lady Gaga when she first was coming out, people would say, oh, I don't like her. You know, I'm not going to embrace her. She doesn't represent my bisexuality. And I just wanted to, you know, scream because no one can represent anyone completely.
Yeah, well, no one can represent anyone's bisexuality except whoever they are. I don't claim that any famous personality represents me. I represent me.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, I don't care who they are, whether it's Snooki or Lady Gaga or, you know, Alan Cumming, they're strong enough to stand up and say something. Mm-hmm. They're strong enough to stand behind the label.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to give them credit for that because, you know, we need more of that. So whether or not they're, you know, swinging from a wrecking ball or whatever, you know, we still have to respect that. We don't have to like everything they do because, you know, obviously people are people. We're not. But we need to encourage other people to do that and not criticize everyone when they come out. You know, it's like Lady Gaga stands by what she says. She, you know, she repeats it over and over again. I'm bisexual. I'm bisexual. I'm bisexual. She never wavers from that.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to give her respect for that.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of whatever else she's done with her life, she's got my respect for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about that last scene with Anthony and Rose, it's a stereotype, but this happens a lot of times. You know, Anthony's kind of walking on shaky ground anyway. He's a heterosexual. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know anything about lesbians. He's listened to all of his friends about lesbians and now bisexuals. His whole concepts are weird, and I'm familiar with this because that's what kept me in the closet, in my own head, of all these things, what bisexuals are. And then Rose says this, and he doesn't know how to react to that at all. It's like, no, I don't want to share you with other people. You're going to want to be with a girl at the same time with me. You know, these things are running through his head. But Rose doesn't waver. She could at this point because she can see where this is going. And she's actually coming out to herself. She's actually saying the word and standing by them herself.
That's-
and it's a very pivotal moment. And I agree. I would like to see, I really want to see these two be together. But that situation happens over and over again. And it's very important for people to see that, to stand up like that and say what you need to say. So.
And I like that. I'm curious, Becca, because I really tried to, it's the first time we meet the ex-girlfriend right at the end, and I really tried to, over the series, paint a kind of a picture of her, because I think Joe and Holly have a big argument about, like, what a nightmare she was. And how emotionally, how she really controlled Rose emotionally and how dangerous she is to Rose in a much more, so I'm hoping you got at least from the end that Rose wasn't she seemed powerless to what was going on. Like,
I got was by the end of the episode, Rose turned round and looked at her ex and there was nothing she could do to kick her out at that point because her whole past is basically just slammed into her like a tidal wave.
She feels like she's losing a friend. She just broke up with the guy who had a lot of idiot things to say.
Yeah.
And so the safe world. And you know, in season three, again, if whatever does come out, there is, you know, it continues the relationship with Rose and the ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, I was going to say, and, you know, the reality is, it's like, sometimes we don't think with our heads.
Right.
And I mean, that's how I saw that scene. And I also add that, you know, I like how you play with all kinds of stereotypes in this show, right? I mean, not just LGBT stereotypes, but also race stereotypes. And it's one of the things that really makes it fun. And it's good that it's fun. I think humor is a great way to deal with a lot of these issues. So thank you.
Well, and I'm glad that comes across, because that's very much sort of my philosophy, is that I grew up watching All the Family and the Jeffersons and Good Times, and they dealt with very serious issues, but they did it in a way that you didn't feel like, if I sat there for 20 minutes and preached, kind of like I do on the bi-weekly show, and I just sort of talk to the camera and say, this is how it should be, people would tune out. They don't want to be necessarily preached to, but I think if you address the stereotypes, not just LGBT, but you know, race, and even I have one of the characters dating a person who can't hear,
yes,
or who's deaf, and sort of the stereotypes with that.
Thank you so much for that. I cannot tell you, when I saw that, I went like, yes, you know, I'm a bit hard of hearing myself, and I do feel a tie to the deaf community, and I appreciate that. That
well,
was great.
You know, I'm glad that you didn't feel like I was making fun.
No, I thought he was terribly, horribly.
And that's what
ridiculous.
Makes fun. I'm making fun of people who don't take the time to evolve.
Evolve. That's it. Or think outside of their little boxes.
Right. Right. In fact, it's funny, and you know, when the first season first came out, there's this at the end of the first or second episode when we first meet Joe and Holly, and Joe shows up and she makes a joke about Chaz Bono.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like subtle, but you have to sometimes like catch it. Like sometimes you don't.
I got a very 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 terse email from some, you know, one of the sort of the canonized, you know, grand poobahs in the bi community, the bi world, saying, hey, this isn't cool, you're making fun of transgender folk. And I initially got defensive, and I just simply wrote back saying, just hold off, watch the show. Because the whole point was, I don't believe that, you know, the making fun of Chaz Bono because she's in transition, that's not Kyle Schichtner's view. I had to quickly show, this is who this character is. It was Joe,
yeah,
who is the most antagonistic towards Rose being bisexual. And we had, in a sentence, I was able to say, look, this is how she thinks. There is no room for anything other than her world.
Yeah,
I get that, yeah.
And I later got an apology saying, I'm sorry, I should have trusted you. You were fine.
Yeah, I think it was. It was actually quite a bit breath of fresh air to see a character who, I'm sure we all know someone like this in real life, this sort of the militant lesbian. But you don't really see that very often in media, and it was nice to actually see a representation. You don't see that a lot because a lot of mainstream media is quite afraid of showing that.
Yeah.
And so when you get characters who have an LGBT sexuality, they're very sort of stereotyped, and then they're not just stereotyped, but they've got to behave a certain way so they don't offend anyone.
They're very neutered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very sort of sanitized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was very refreshing to see actually what we see in day-to-day life and sort of the realism of it I liked a lot.
And it's interesting. This show initially, what I was developing it for Logo. They were very interested in it. It was going to run on Logo before it became Not Gay. And right at the last minute, right before we were really going to, you know, move forward and sign the deal, they said they can't do it. They were worried this is going to offend lesbians. And what's ironic, and I knew it wasn't going to, what's ironic is I've not had one complaint. You know, and I get emails all the time from people just sort of saying, this is great, I hate you, what are you doing? Not a single complaint from the lesbian community about this. And so it just said to me the people over at Logo aren't paying attention, or they're so afraid that we talked about the politically correct thing. They're so afraid of showing, like you said, unsanitized actual people that they'll just say, well, this isn't going to work. And, you know, spoiler alert, in season 3, Joe, the sort of this hardcore, very militant, I hate anything with the penis kind of person, she is the most instrumental person who gets Rose and Anthony back together. I mean, she sort of sees that the girlfriend at the end is very bad for Rose.
Yeah.
And that Anthony, in fact, isn't. And, it, you know, despite the fact that he has male genitalia, he's probably better for Rose. And she's a big part of how they get back together.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear.
I hope so, because I think that's actually the only way to redeem Joe at this point.
You know, and it's interesting, because I maybe I'm too close. What she says, we've all heard. There is a loyalty and a love that she has for Rose. That, you know, I think, again, it all comes down to sort of being completely uneducated about it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Again, and that's part of our, meaning the bisexual community's fault, that we have failed in educating people over the last 30 years about what it means to be bi.
I know they say that, because when I came out to myself, like I've said before, anyway, I turned to the LGBT community because I thought that's where I should be going, and was received with less than stellar response on that. So I turned to my girlfriend and asked her, why am I getting such a cold shoulder on this? And she it's not how she feels, because she's a real, really cool, well-informed person, and a lesbian. She gave me the rundown on what she's heard many lesbians say about bisexuals, and that was what drove me to find my community and listening to everything in the community, and what drove me to do this podcast, because there was no podcast. There was lots of other things, but I figured we need to get the word out. So
great.
That's kind of what spurred me on there. But yeah, the things that she told me they'd say, you know, Joe said them, and then some more besides that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I've been in a lot of, you know, comments where bisexual articles will put up, and a gold star will get in there and say some really horrible things. And I see that all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just that one person. If that one person is saying what a lot of other people say, and I usually respond to those, not because I have any illusions about changing this person's mind. I respond so everybody else out there like me knows there's somebody there,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and to inform the other people that are reading that this is not okay. So my concern is never the person I'm talking to. It, in fact, I hate to say this, the more they dig their grave, the better it is, you know,
yeah.
because it brings it up to the front, it shows what's going on, and it gives you a chance to answer.
Yeah.
It's like, you might not change their mind, but the other person who's listening, who's passing by, you could be saving their life.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, my understanding is, you're not going to probably change their mind, but they'll think twice about opening their stupid mouth again.
Yeah, exactly. You know, political correctness is important, and we have to get that to, if it would be politically incorrect to use this as a punching bag anymore. You know,
yeah.
Like before I said, 40 years ago, when we were all being called terrible names, calling somebody homosexual or gay was a slander. It was a bad thing.
Yeah.
They reclaimed their word, just like every other group does, and it doesn't mean that anymore. And it's not politically correct to use it that way anymore. We need to do that, because they still think they can do that to us. I mean, they've always done that, but we need to do that too. We need to rally behind our community, and it's the bisexual community, whatever we'll call ourselves individually. We need to do that. We need to take our word back.
Yeah, absolutely.
It also hurts gay and lesbian people in mixed orientation relationships when they're confronted with the bisexuality of their partner, and all they know is all the stereotypes. And I've seen relationships break up over that, where they were pretty solid relationships, and it was that biphobia from the gay or lesbian partner that really just broke people up.
And I think that's a lot of misinformation, because people don't think outside the box. They accept what they have been told. And I know this is a fact, because I don't think I am a very close-minded person, but I went around all my life never really investigating what bisexuality was, always believing what I had been told, that it was a choice, that you were morally bankrupt, really. You were sexually hyperactive,
mm-hmm.
and basically you would fuck anything that moved. And I knew I couldn't be that, but I always knew that I was attracted to girls. I also knew I was always very attracted to boys. And so since I couldn't be a bisexual, and I knew that because I liked boys, I wasn't a lesbian, I must be hetero. And I worked very hard to be hetero. And it caused a lot of problems in my life. You shut off a whole part of yourself. And, you know, you squelch it down like a bug, and you put it away, and you never deal with it. And the end of your whole life is like that. You lie to yourself. Very difficult. So, hey, luckily I got to be old enough to figure some of that out. You know, but I had a lot of help from friends and my family, and especially I had met a lot of younger people. This gives me so much encouragement. They had a real grasp of what it meant, whether they were bi or not,
mm-hmm.
and they helped me a lot. A couple of them are on this show. They're not on right now, but they're on this show. But I have a good story. Not all of us do. Most of us don't, and that's the problem. That is the problem. It should be safe for us to come out, like it's safe to come out gay or lesbian now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot safer now. I mean, my story is that when I came out, it was like, I was told, couldn't you have been a lesbian?
Hmm.
You know, even my parents, who my mum's of a Jamaican background and my dad's Polish. Even my parents, who come from backgrounds that are very homophobic, would have rather I was a lesbian than bisexual. And mm-hmm. it took them a long time to accept the fact that I am actually bisexual. And then when I met my boyfriend, it was a case of he had no idea what it meant. He had a lot of insecurities. And it took a lot of talking for us to get to the stage we're at now, where I hesitate to say it doesn't bother him anymore, but it's not as obviously bothering him anymore. It's not as common that he'll start worrying about things like that.
And part of it is that misconception is that if you're bi, you have to have both at the same time. And that's one of the things we have to fight. And because they're not thinking of you as a real human being. I know from my personal experience, when I'm in love with someone, that's the only person I think about. I mean, I'm not stupid. I look at, you know, Angelina Jolie and say, yeah, but that's normal. I mean, we all do that. Heterosexual people do that. But as far as I don't have to have someone else. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but that is my focus. I'm committed to that relationship. And I think we need to help people understand that.
And I think that's been, you know, again, I think that's where we have sort of failed in sort of in being able to figure out a way to explain that. And I also think that what I really get frustrated with is bisexuality being sort of this scapegoated as the reason relationships don't work.
Yeah.
Most relationships don't work. You know, in terms of they don't go the distance till death. They just don't. That's the reality.
Yeah.
So what frustrates me is it's so easy for whether it's a straight person or someone that's gay or lesbian who gets in a relationship, it doesn't work, and it's so simple to say, I couldn't, you know, it's because she was bisexual, I couldn't compete, I'm not a man, or, you know, all the things that, instead of actually looking and saying, oh, maybe I was emotionally cut off to that person, or maybe I wasn't very there for them, or whatever it would be, instead of looking at themselves saying, oh, this is the reason why it didn't work, and this is, it's so easy to say, ah, she's bisexual, that's why, and be the end of the story, and they cannot have to do any kind of growing.
Well, that's that scapegoating thing, and you know, I've heard that over and over again, too, Jesus. Oh, my girl, you know, my girlfriend left me, and she hooked up with a man, and you know, right away I'm thinking, no, I bet you guys broke up, and the next person she had a relationship happened to be a man,
right.
And they... You know, and it's like, oh, you know, I was with a girl, and after me, you know, she hooked up with a girl. I must have drove her to being a lesbian. Well, no, she was probably bisexual to begin with.
Right. And if you take the theory and the philosophy forward, so if two straight people are dating and they break up with you to go with another woman, a guy breaks up with a woman to go with another woman, then in theory, then you should say, well, I'm not going to date anyone straight anymore because they're going to leave.
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense logically.
I'm a great believer in sort of, anyone who can, with a straight face, say that a relationship ended because their partner was bisexual, first of all, they're probably the reason the relationship ended,
right.
The person who's saying that. Second of all, that's not someone I want to be around.
Yeah.
Well, it's just an easy cop-out. It's not taking responsibility for the way you acted yourself. And you have to in a relationship. I mean, I had some bad relationships, but I had just as much to do with that as they did.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it was. Yeah, that's one of them that always kind of breaks my heart a little bit, because it's so dehumanizing. It's saying that because you are bisexual, you are innately, you are going to be a cheater, you know, and here I am, I would identify as hetero, and now I identify as bisexual. Am I automatically going to be a cheater now? Am I automatically, you know, on my way to being a lesbian? No, I haven't changed a bit,
right.
You know? And I get very frustrated with that. And here's the other thing I think that really irritates me, and I don't think this has anything to do with the coming out part, but everybody says, oh, you're bisexual. That means you want to do threesomes. I don't have any problem with threesomes, okay? Well, not for me, because I have problems doing onesomes at this point. But, you know, but there are very, very strong polyamorous relationships out there that work very well. I lack the maturity and the commitment for that. But the problem is that they say, oh, okay, you're bisexual, you want to do threesomes, you know, with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it negates those polyamorous relationships as being something less than moral, and it negates you. You know, it's like saying, say that we don't have any boundaries. People say things to you that they would not say in the world say to anyone else. I mean, I had total strangers proposition me, you know, you want to hang out with me
and my husband, yeah. Or me and my wife? No!
Me and my wife. I didn't even know these people's names. How dare they even talk that way to me? Whether I wanted to or not is not the point. Is it? They don't have the right to do that.
I'm bisexual. That doesn't mean I don't have standards. And
yeah,
self-respect.
You know? Yeah.
I guess, like, and a big thing, too, is, like, polyamorous relationships are not just bisexual only. Like, it's for
exactly.
any sexuality.
Exactly. There are heterosexual people that do it. There are lesbians. There are gays. There are all kinds of people that have polyamorous relationships. We don't own it.
Well, part of the problem is any media exposure towards bisexuality, whether it's, you know, documentaries or 2020 or whatever it would be, they almost always focus for the most salacious and stereotypical. So that's all mainstream America is seeing. That becomes a simple, oh, well, that was much what it must be like. And that's also the problem, is that that's the only image that they get.
Every single article I see is these three way too pretty people hanging all over each other when it's about bisexuality. And I want to throw up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. I do not look like that.
The problem
you know,
is most sex and scandals sell.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back to Rose again. And it's really funny because the lesbian couple go and see The Kids Are All Right and have no clue that it is a bisexual movie.
Right.
Yeah.
It's right there in front of them and they just can't see it.
Yeah.
You know, and here we go again with having history and having a culture and having people know they have one. I felt really alone. I had no clue that there was anything. And that's why it's so important for us to get that message out there so people can have something to relate to, you know, have people they can look up to, have someone they can reference, say, hey, look, this person's bisexual, they're okay, I'm okay. And that would make coming out a whole lot easier. It really, really would. It really would, I imagine.
I try.
Yeah, we all do.
You know?
I'll give you a brilliant example. I grew up with rock music as that was what my parents listened to. And up until I came out as bisexual and I started looking, I didn't know Freddie Mercury wasn't gay.
I didn't either. I had no clue.
I thought he was gay. And
you know what? I didn't either. And people used to joke about, what's his name? His buddy, who he canted, David Bowie.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't
you
know David Bowie was bisexual either. And it was just like, and then I found out and I saw these interviews. How have I heard this man's music, idolized him since I'm 3 years old and not known this?
Exactly.
When I was a kid, that was the only word I knew for bisexual. I was a David Bowie.
Yeah. or AC/DC, which I don't think has anything to do with the band, but yeah, it was AC/DC. Nobody ever said the word bisexual, ever. Just kind of like right now.
Yeah, no, it's true. I never heard it growing up.
Ever. I didn't have any idea. It wasn't, in fact, I knew what gay and lesbian was. I knew what that was. I had people like that in the house and my family and everything. I never even learned very much about bisexuality until I got into nursing school and, you know, medical books and then picking it up from everybody else, which in a very Catholic setting.
Mm.
And it just got worse and worse and worse.
I can imagine what you heard in a Catholic setting, Lynette.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. It wasn't good.
It's still not good in the Catholic setting, or at least it wasn't up to about 5 years ago.
I think you're pretty right on that it's still not good.
Yeah, unfortunately. Sorry, Catholic people, but yeah. Yeah.
So the
thing for me was, you know, I tried because I wanted to, but the person that I did it with, I didn't really like her, and she didn't really like me. We were just both willing.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of us had a clue. So it was a disaster. I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
So I took from that, not that I had picked the wrong person, but that I was really heterosexual because I didn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It And it reinforced that for me. And, you know, I did that all the way through my life. And I kept, all my life I kept saying, well, you know, I don't like this, so I must be heterosexual. I don't like seeing two girls in a porno movie, so I must be heterosexual. Not thinking it through that those two girls were actually performing for some straight guy, mm-hmm. you know, and that it wasn't real. And that's what I always kept saying. That looks so fake. You know, so I must be straight then. And it didn't tell, I gained a lot of maturity and dealt with my life that I figured it out. But it took a long time because I had a lot of obstacles to go through and I didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
You like the porno stuff. You look at that movie and you think that's the way it is. You think that, you know, two girls will do it with each other because the guy wants them to. And it's very the word that you misogynistic and all that. But you get so inundated with this that you don't even know what's happening.
I don't think there's anything wrong with experimenting, though. I mean, that's something that we should always be saying. Like, if people are... The point is there's nothing wrong with people questioning their sexuality.
No. I'm just saying my experience wasn't a heck of a lot of fun. And so I based my theory that I was hetero off of that.
Yeah.
You know? Which was wrong
for me. There's absolutely nothing wrong with identifying with the, and I say this in quotation marks, wrong sexuality for a while or for however long it takes for you to become comfortable or to gain the maturity to come out as what you are. But it's when that becomes the stereotype of an entire sexuality that we have issues. And that's what happened with that sexuality.
If I had had better information about what bisexuality was, if I had known I had a community, if I would have been able to explore that in a more safe situation for me, if I had the opportunity to have my mind opened up a little bit more, because there was nothing, I would not have waited this long. I would have been a lot happier person a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. So that's what we're up to.
Well, my early adulthood was in the 80s, and the stereotypes of bisexuals vis-a-vis HIV were really hard. There were into the 80s, there was a strong bisexual community, and the wrath of AIDS really killed that first wave.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I got to the stage where I could discuss this with my parents, my dad said to me, he'd had quite a vocal reaction and a very negative one. And he said to me, Becca, I was scared. In my time, when I grew up in the 70s and 80s, bisexual was a death sentence. It meant you had AIDS and you were going to die. And when he hears things that frighten him like that, he reacts badly. Obviously, I didn't understand where he was coming from, and I did after he told me that.
Yeah.
And it never even occurred to me that that would be an issue. Because I thought, I didn't realise that the stereotype of bisexuality was so strong that my father, who knew I'd never been in a serious relationship, would take that and automatically think that meant I was also coming out to him as HIV positive.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it for a long time, and then I realised it's just a generation gap.
Yeah, because John and I, and, you know, we lived that. We were there.
Yeah.
We saw, we had friends pass away from us, alone and miserable, and you know, people that should never have been taken away from us. And people got very scared and very, it was a very dangerous time to live. And because they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what was going on. They had nothing in place to take care of it.
I was just lucky, or I have a really good guardian angel. And it was like in the early days and even later, it was just something that you just didn't want to think about. Even if you saw your friends and you were at their bedsides at the end, you did not want to think it could be you. And it took a long time for us to really start self-educating and creating this community, the ACT UP community and such, to really begin to, like, take ownership of it. Of course, I was totally in the closet in those days, and I did ACT UP work as an ally, and I did all the other stuff as an ally as it was going on, and I just didn't want to think about it. I didn't have my first AIDS test until really 1993, And that was because we were talking about getting pregnant, and I just wanted to make sure I knew my status before we started thinking about having a child.
Yeah, that was very responsible.
I think I think some of the whole negative stereotype, though, was gays and lesbians using bisexuals as an scapegoat, even during that time period. You know, it became like, well, the bisexuals are infecting everybody. They're infecting the straight and the gay. And so I think they were using basically us as an scapegoat.
Well, that's the nature of people, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, everybody at that point was being scapegoated. And it's always, you know, it's always a matter of just trying to find, you know, the lowest person on the totem pole to, you know, shit goes downhill.
Yeah,
talk to my Haitian friends, because they went through the same stuff at the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, not all my Haitian friends were heterosexual, so they got a double whammy.
Yeah, that was bad. That was not good at all. I don't know if younger people know, but, yeah, there's a lot of racism because they assume that's where it all's coming from. You know, I don't have any other way to stay in that.
Yeah.
And so... On the last show, by the way, everybody, we actually taped a wonderful, wonderful episode last week, and due to error, and I'm not going to say operator or technical, the episode did not record. So Kyle graciously agreed to come back and do it again.
And it's a shame, because I remember saying something that would have changed the world completely and fixed everything, and it's lost, and we'll never get it, and we're stuck in the garbage.
We'll never have it back again. It's out there in the universe.
Exactly.
Oh, we had Michael on with us, and he is actually an ally. He identifies as hetero, but he's very, very much wants to help get things changed. That's the kind of person he is. He asked a very important question. How do, as an ally, we help address these issues and talking about what are some trigger things not to say? And, you know, help correct people when they do. And a couple of the things was, of course, don't say it's just a phase. Don't say you're on your way to being a lesbian, or, well, you're with a guy now, you must be back to straight. Anybody else?
Don't try and tell me what my label is. Don't tell me I'm pan knob, or don't tell me I'm this or that. Don't tell me I'm pan when I've told you I'm bi, or if someone tells you they're pan, don't tell them they're bi. Just accept, when someone tells you a label, accept it. You don't have to understand it, just accept it.
And speak out, especially even if, you know, even more so when you're not around bi people and someone says something that is negative towards bisexual, or this really, I mean, this should be across the board. I mean, I'm a white man, so if I'm with a group of white men and somebody says something racist, it is my responsibility to say, hey, shut the fuck up, you shouldn't say that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the same thing with everything. If you're in a crowd and someone says something that's homophobic or biphobic or something that offends you, it's so easy and it's so easy to just be quiet and say, oh, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to make a thing. My feeling has always been make a thing, you know, like just, and you don't have to be confrontational. You just say, I'm uncomfortable saying that.
You know, exactly. Because if enough people are doing that, the other people catch on. If you got four people saying, yeah, don't talk like that, in the same conversation, they're going to listen and they're not going to talk like that again.
There's a group called Tumblr. How to deal with people making bigoted jokes 101. Someone makes a joke or says something and the people around them laugh. Just stop and look at them and go, I don't understand. And they'll repeat themselves and then say, but why is that funny? And just watch them burst into flames trying to explain it without being overly racist.
Yeah.
So, there are a lot of people that we're not lucky like me who cannot come out because it's dangerous for them too. And we need to support them, too, in the groups. And the people that are newly coming out or just wondering if they're bi, we need to be very supportive of them and do everything we can to help them get through that. Because it is a lonely place, and it is so much easier after a while to just say, okay, I'm gay. I don't want to get into it. We need to help them with that.
Because it's so much easier to say I'm gay or lesbian because there's 1,000 resources at their fingertips and 1,000 places they can go where there's hundreds of people that were just that identify the same, where we don't have the same luxury as to say we're bisexual. So there is a loneliness that even just comes from saying it. You know, unless you're living in the major cities, you can't find places where there's 20, 30 other bisexuals hanging out. So it's difficult. So I get the need or the sort of the pull to be like, I'm just going to say I'm gay because I have a community waiting for me. We need to keep finding ways to make people feel they're not alone.
Exactly. And, you know.
And this show is a huge part of that. So thank you.
Well, and education is like the best thing that we can do. I mean, like, in the end, like, you know, they continue talking and it becomes very ignorant that they have no ability or interest in actually trying to understand what bisexuality is. They're just more like, we're going to stay in this community because they accept me, or going to stay in this community because it's easier to hide in this one kind of thing. So it's just about like informing both the straight and gay community as well as the bisexual community.
You know, not everybody is in a place where they can be like, hey, a radical activist. That's why I appreciated Joe's character in this, because, you know, a lot of people come out and they're very young. They do lose friends over it.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. And, you know, and I want to tell them, you probably didn't need those people in your life to begin with. You need to build your own new family.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to give them a place to go to do that.
Right.
I was going to say, even in the major cities, you have to organize the bi community. And, like, for 10 years, we didn't have a very strong bi community, and we're just reorganizing that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add today?
I feel like we covered most, you know, kind of sad that, like, Mike wasn't able to be on. He had some good points last time.
I would just add that to Kyle, in the past, our favorite series that went off the TV got made into major motion pictures. So, hey, maybe that's how we do season 3.
Listen, I would love that. Hey. Get Veronica Mars to do a Kickstarter campaign and we could do Rose as a feature.
Yeah. Well, could you put her on Firefly too?
Yeah, I was gonna say, but let's not do Serenity too closely the same way.
Or even, you know, or even she could be hit by a toilet seat from the Mir space station and it could be a Dead Like Me movie. Combine them all.
They did do that with Dead Like Me, and that was great. Yeah.
I have a question. Did we want to do something about it come out like we had done like the previous show? Like, you know, it's better to be out as bisexual.
Yeah, we were talking about how, like, if it's possible for you, being out will always be preferable to not. Because just for that mental health benefits alone, unless you're in a position where it really is sort of physically dangerous for you, it really is worth the risk a lot of the time.
Mental and physical health.
Yeah, mental and physical. I have a friend who won't come out because their partner, first of all, hates the whole idea and won't budge on it. And they say, absolutely, you cannot come out to the community. I do not want you to do that. And they love this partner and they are going to respect their wishes, but no matter what they are going through. And they're very lonely and it's a very isolated and sad place to be for them. And the only thing they have is talking to other people in groups.
But that's because they can't. Because that's at least coming out to someone.
Yeah, you have somebody you can talk to.
Yeah.
I would recommend finding somebody a little more supportive in your life, but it's not my life.
Well, listen, don't get me started on that relationship, just from what you're saying.
I think
Beyonce would say, to the left, to the left.
Yeah.
It's important to have mixed orientation marriage resources for people. And I find that helps in maintaining a relationship so many times. When people are coming out as bi to a straight or gay lesbian partner, I say the first thing you need to do is find those resources. And the second thing you need to do is have lots of sex to show that person that you're still into them.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. That works.
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about that going, like, yeah, I could probably handle that. Yeah.
I came out in June and we got pregnant in August, so that just kind of happens.
I think that's good therapy. Of course, Jane is tremendously awesome from what you've said. Sorry, Jane, but he didn't say it because it's part of the coming out story. You know, she made a real effort to understand. I mean, I know it must have been hard for her, but she worked on it, and that's important to have that kind of partner.
Yeah, the kind of
part... I'm sorry, I have to run. I got to pick my kids up at school, but... So I'm sorry, I hate to just go out
all right.
like this, but I got to, you know... Thank you.
Thanks.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Bye, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, anytime you need me, I'm here.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay, so Central Oregon Pride is going to be on June 28th at Drake Park. It'll be great. It looks like it's a very diverse people that are on the board, so I would check that out. I also want to plug Dougie's new little page that he has called By the Step. It is a page for people to share their information of who are going through recovery, or even if they're not going through recovery, some place to share information and talk. And I hope that works out well for him, because we all know that is one of our issues. We do try to self-destruct ourselves because we don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, recently we were approached by Jen from Queer World, and they picked up our last Trans Vitas tracking portal and actually got us on board there, so I encourage you guys to check out Queer World. And I'm going to plug us. We still need help with our GoFundMe account. We still have things we need to get. We're hoping to get to Minnesota. We need to rent equipment. We have travel expenses. Maybe get to Washington, D.C. We'd be interviewing all of our activists and attending some really great workshops. Very beneficial. We'd be able to share all of that with you. So please visit our GoFundMe page. We still have expenses. I need a hard drive. We need to maintain our website. There are other things that we still need. So give us a shot.
Capital Pride, Washington, D.C. is May 31st to June 7th, and Center By will be having an event with Lorraine Hutchins and A. Billy Jones-Hannon on June 3rd at the D.C. Center, 2014th Street Northwest, and we will be marching in the Pride Parade on June 6th as Center By, and we've got a float, and we've got an acrobatic contortionist on the roof of our car, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got lots of people coming out, so come out. And of course, at the festival on the 7th, we will be tabling with DC Center, brand new Center By brochure.
I'd just like to cut in because I've just got hold of some breaking news that the Ninth Circuit has stopped the National Organization for Marriage's latest attempt in Oregon to stop marriage equality. And the ruling's being issued in half an hour, but they have sort of stopped it, so, yeah. Yay!
Well, your state!
That's why I said it, because it's Lynette's state, so.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, in general for Michigan and stuff, West Michigan Pride is in the second largest city, which is Grand Rapids, and you can usually just look up their dates online.
Not quite sure what's going on. In England generally, I know we sort of have Pride seasons coming up in the summer. I'm running in my university for as an equalities officer within my LGBT, so that looks like it's going to be good. I'm going to be organising bisexuality workshops and things, so anything I put together for that I'll sort of pass on to the bicast as well so we can share that around. Not quite sure what other news there is. I would, once again, like to plug my Facebook group, which there is a link to on the website already, the Bisexuals and Different Gendered Partners, which is still open. We're still taking membership if anyone wants to join. And Evan's been extremely helpful with that, Evan, my boyfriend. So we do accept sort of all sorts, trans relationships, as people who are trans in relationships with bisexuals, people who identify as pansexual, everyone's welcome. We're taking same gender couples as well, but what we're stating is that we may not have the resources specifically for same gender couples in the way
right.
that we're focusing on fixed orientation couples, different gender couples.
I actually followed Becca from another group that I had been lucky to fall into, which is really how I got to where I am right now. And it was a great group, and Becca and I, that's where we originally cooked up the podcast thing was months ago, right, Becca?
Yeah.
Months ago I asked you about it.
It was last October you asked me the first time, and then it really sort of kicked off in January.
I got all my best people in my group, huh? Okay, is that everybody? Everybody got it?
Yep.
Alrighty, And also, everybody vote for Becca, who goes to school with her. Vote for Becca.
The Cherry people at my school vote, but if they do, yeah, get on the university website. You've got to self-identify as LGBTQ to vote. Pick the little box, stick in your student number, and we're up and running.
All right. You guys, it's been another great show. I appreciate all three of you being on. I appreciate Kyle being on. All right, everybody remember, you're not wrong, you're not broken, and you're not alone. You're a human being, and you're bisexual. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Rose by Any Other Name theme song performed by Julie Newmark.
All right, guys, we did it.
Yeah.
Did you get the call?
Yeah, we got the call. I've been checking all the way through.
Just making watch, sure while we...
Watching it like a hawk.
I would have just blamed the money and said that this is why we need money. This is another reason.
I know, but yeah, I don't think that fast, John.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody, especially you who are just coming out and looking for support by using a search engine to do that, just to let you know, Google still has bisexual on the restricted list. Binet USA and several other people are working very hard to get this changed. Please sign the petition that's going around when you see it. Let's get this taken care of so all of those people out there can find bisexual support group, can find the Binet USA sites, can find BRC, can find these things easily, especially if you don't know what you're even looking for. You're just looking for help. Thank you. Sign the petition.
We'd like to take a moment to talk about GreenPath. Here is a company concerned with bettering our world and takes measures to do so. We posted in one of our groups looking for a lead on a transcription company who might be affordable. We wanted to put our podcast to text for our deaf community members and allies. Lily from GreenPath contacted us immediately and offered to donate their services and time. We are appreciative beyond words. It is no easy task, but when you look through their website, you'll see that promoting and supporting causes and organizations is of the utmost importance to them.
They offer a wide variety of services, and their product is professional and accurate. They support sustainability, human rights, and academia programs. The rates are reasonable, but they also offer discounts for worthy causes. Beyond being grateful, we are so proud to be associated with a company who understands the importance of supporting the betterment of the human condition. Please take a moment to peruse their site and consider GreenPath transcripts if you find yourself in need of this type of service. By supporting each other, we will build our community.
GreenPath Transcripts, a digital transcription service that shares your values. Like them on Facebook and visit them at digitaltranscriptionservice.com.
Thank you, everyone.